Hey, I'm here to introduce our guests, and we are ready to go for it because we're so excited. Roger and Gwen Smets have been ministering as evangelists around our nation, Canada, and other parts of our nation as evangelists. And if you've ever been experiencing just that joy of a Pentecostal kind of approach, they minister the word of God over people, just lots of scriptures, bam, bam. But he's going to minister the word first. And then as we bring the house lights up, he's going to be bringing a word to a few of you that God moves on him to just speak that word of encouragement. A lot of scriptures. Now, I remember when I came to Hope Chapel, February of 02, and I stepped up on the platform and I put a big bow on my head and it stuck. You know, there's a lot to stick there. And I said, I am an Ephesians 4:11. It says, Jesus gave gifts to the church, some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. I'm here as your pastor. I'm a gift. If you'll receive me, I'm from Jesus. Roger is that gift as well. And he moves in a different way. It's unusual. You can't say, well, man, he doesn't do it like Paul. Like, he can't. He's different. And if you've never been around those kinds of experiences, I'm so honored that we have evangelist Roger Smets with us. And Gwen as well. She'll be playing the keys as he's ministering the word over people. But would you put your hands together? They're right up front. Would you welcome at this time evangelist Roger Smets? Roger, way to go.
Well, bless the Lord. We're grateful to be in the house of the Lord with you today. We've come to hear and to receive a word from God. The Bible says in Psalms 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and what? Healed them and delivered them from all their diseases. We believe today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm here to say God has a word for you, a word that will lift you, a word that will encourage you, a word that will empower you, and a word that will release you to embrace all that God has for you. I believe God has something for you today. Amen. Amen. Because I believe in the power of prayer, I want to pray that God would order his ways during the course of these next few minutes. I believe there are some of you here today that need a word that will enable you to overcome. We're going to be talking today about the awesomeness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm here to confirm today that no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's happening in your life today, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of heaven and earth. Take your Bibles and turn right away to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 today. Matthew 28 verse 18. This is the passage of scripture where the Bible says that Jesus, he began to speak to the disciples as he was approaching the time of his ascension to heaven. And these are the words that Jesus left with the disciples. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power and all authority have been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Jesus declares that he is the Lord of all things, every circumstance, every situation that you'll ever face in life. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has full jurisdiction. That word jurisdiction is a big word that maybe some of us don't fully understand, but I had an experience in Southern California many years ago. I was traveling home from Life Bible College on Highway 5. It was a rainy night. It was difficult to see, and I went into a skid, and my car spun around 180 degrees, and I didn't hit anything, but I wound up in the middle lane facing the wrong direction with cars streaming by me, and nobody would pull over and stop to let me get turned around. Isn't that the Southern California way? And nobody would let me in. And I kept trying to get in, and I couldn't. And finally, a police officer came along. I thought, oh, good, he can help me. And I said, sir, excuse me, can you help me? Can you hold off the traffic so I can get turned around? You know what he said? He said, oh, I'm sorry, but this is not my jurisdiction. That's what he said. This is not my jurisdiction. You just stay put, and an officer will come along and help you later. But folks, I want you to know something. No matter what you face in life today, Jesus has full jurisdiction. Amen. Have you discovered that in your life over the course of your years in serving the Lord, that it's true that everything you have faced in life, everything you've gone through in life, falls somewhere between heaven and earth? Jesus says, all power and all authority has been given to me where? In heaven and in earth. And so I'm here to tell you today that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, if it's somewhere between heaven and earth, Good news, it's under Jesus' jurisdiction. It's within the arena where Jesus has been given power and authority to reign. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the one who reigns. He reigns over all things. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we all know it well, and we know that all things are going to work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things will work together for good. In other words, there's not one event, one experience, there's not one thing that you'll ever go through this life for which Jesus does not reign with power and authority. Hallelujah, amen. Let's just thank the Lord for that today, can't we? Hallelujah. Jesus has all power and all authority that's been given to him where? In heaven and in earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I've discovered that's the zone where most of my trouble has been. Have you found out that's true for you? Most everything you've faced in this life falls somewhere between heaven and earth. And folks, because that's true, we know that all things will work for good. That passage of scripture, we all know it well, Romans 8:28. Some people have difficulty with that verse, but I remember years ago when I was just out of Bible college, I began to preach and minister, and one of the first sermons I preached was Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things are going to work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so I preached that verse with vigor and enthusiasm, declaring it with all my strength and energy. And when I finished, a man came up to me after the service, and he was very troubled. I could see in his face that he was filled with stress and pain. And he came up to me, and he opened his Bible to that verse, Romans 8:28. And he said, you know, I've been through a lot of trials and troubles and even tragic events. And he said, you tell me, son. He said, you tell me how all things are going to work for good in my life. And because I was fresh out of Bible college, I thought that anytime somebody would ask of me such a question, you tell me how all things are going to work for good in my life. I thought that anybody would ask of me a spiritual question had to have some kind of religious answer. If I didn't have the answer, I just made one up that sounded spiritual. I said, oh, brother, what you're talking about here, you're talking about the divine intervention of a sovereign God that wants to demonstrate the power of his omniscience and omnipresence within the arena of a finite place and time. I just took a bunch of spiritual jargon I learned at Bible college and hoped that it would appease him. And you know what? It did. He said, thank you, brother. Amen. And he went on his way. I prayed he'd never come back. But that day the Lord freed me. That day the Lord delivered me. That day the Lord loosed me from having to know how things are going to work together for good, where I could just rest in him, that according to his word, that they will. I don't know how all things are going to work for good in your life, but this one thing I know, bless God, they will. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says it, that faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. My God's a doing God today, amen. So the Lord is the Lord over all things and all circumstances. Also, he's the Lord over our past. Philippians 3:13-14 says, and Paul writes it, forget those things that are behind and press on toward those things that are yet before, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The instruction of the Lord regarding those things that were, those things in our past, the instructions of the Lord are clear. Forget those things that are behind and press on toward those things that are yet before. Sometimes we miss the significance of little words of a verse. And in that particular verse, the word are is very significant. Forget those things that are behind. In other words, forget those things that have been permanently placed behind you, never again to occupy the forward focus of your eye. Forget those things that have been placed behind you. The devil wants to remind you of all your past and all your trouble. But you know what, folks? The next time the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future, amen? Because one day he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, amen, and he'll have no power and no authority over you. But the Bible says in John 8:36, the one who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we're to forget those things that are behind. Every time we allow ourselves to muddle over all those things that were, we are discounting the power of the cross. For it is written, says the Lord, and Jesus declared it at the cross when he took upon himself the burden of all the troubles and the heartaches and the sins of men. The Bible says that Jesus, finally, with his last breath, he said, "It is finished." And he hung his head and died. It is finished. In other words, everything that you need for complete healing, complete deliverance, and complete impartation of the miraculous is all bound up in those three little words, "It is finished." And so I pray today that you'll understand that, yes, the Lord can help you to come to a place in your life today where you can just release those things that were and lay hold of those things that shall be. So forget those things that are behind and then press on to those things that are ahead. I'm here to tell you, God has a great future for you. He has great plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says it, "I know the plans, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for evil, and plans to give you future and a hope." Folks, God says those are the things that are before us. Those are the things that we're to embrace. So we need to learn how to let go of those things that were so that we might be enabled by the Holy Spirit to embrace those things that shall be. And if you don't let go of what was, you'll never be able to embrace those things that shall be. It's one or the other, amen? And so I choose to forget all that was and allow the Holy Spirit to free me to embrace all that shall be. Also this morning, not only is Jesus the Lord of all things and all circumstances and the Lord over our past, but he's also the Lord over all heartache, trouble, and pain. Why? Because Jesus said it in John 16:33, that in this world you will have tribulation. But he said, "You be of good cheer, for I, the one who abides in you, I've already overcome the world." The one who abides in us. Aren't you glad that Jesus is on board in your life today, amen? And he's on board through the trials and the troubles. Psalms 34:19 says, we all know it, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all." Have you discovered, folks, that God allows you to go through things in life that are difficult to bear and hard to understand? God allows us to go through the valleys of the troubles and the heartaches of life. But in the midst of those things, the Lord has made covenant promise with you and with me that we will overcome. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "Whoever has been born of God," that's you, "whoever has been born of God will overcome the world. For this is our victory, even our faith, that we will overcome." We are destined to overcome, not because of our goodness, not because of our abilities, not because of anything that we can or ever will be able to do, but we were destined to overcome because of who we are. Whoever has been born of God, the promise of deliverance is unto those who have become saved in Jesus' name and come to a place of embracing the fullness of salvation. You know, sometimes, like I said, life is filled with issues, things that we don't understand. Have you found that God doesn't explain everything to you? Do you ever wonder why God doesn't explain everything to you? I don't know the answers to all of that question, but I have a few. Maybe God doesn't explain everything to us because he knows we simply do not have the capacity to understand. Romans 11:33-34 says, "Oh, the depth of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor?" In other words, who tells God what to do? Amen. And so this morning, God doesn't explain everything to us because he knows we simply do not have the capacity to understand all the fullness of the things of God. A second reason God maybe doesn't explain everything to us is because he's God. You see, when your name is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, when you're the one who is here before anything was and the one who will be here after everything has come and gone, when you're the God who says, let there be light, and there was light, and who breathed in the man the breath of life, when you become that kind of a God, guess what? You can do whatever you want, and you don't have to explain to nobody, hallelujah, because you're God. So we don't know why all things happen. I don't know how and why things would go in your life, things the way they have. Don't know why God's allowed you to go through troubles or trials. But like I said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. I had a vivid experience years ago of how the Lord showed me something about how that he's the Lord of heartache, trouble, and pain. He's the Lord of many things. Because why? Because he's endeavoring to establish his work in your life so that you might become like him. And we had a vivid experience of this years ago. Gwen and I were in a shopping mall up in British Columbia, Canada. And it was one of these weekends at the mall where they had a lot of exhibits and paintings and crafts and all kinds of things on display. And there was a sculptor that was working on a big hunk of wood. It was a brand new project that he was working on, full life size. And he'd take a chisel and he'd position it at a certain place on this large hunk of wood, and he goes whack and he knocks a big hunk of wood off of the sculpture and it hits the floor. Then he moves over to another place with his chisel and he goes whack and he knocks off another big hunk and it falls and hits the floor. And then he changes chisels and he moves to another place and he taps ever so lightly, tap, 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 and little shavings of wood would fall to the floor. Then he would reposition his chisel, and once again, tap, 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 and little shavings would fall to the ground. And I watched this man do this over and over again for well over 30 or 40 minutes. And for the life of me, I still could not figure out what in the world he was carving. And so I finally spoke, and I said, sir, excuse me, but I've been watching you for the last 30 or 40 minutes, and for the life of me, I can't figure out what in the world are you carving? He said, well, I'm carving a horse. I said, oh, really? I said, how do you know what to chip away so that when you get done, you have your horse? He said, oh, that's easy. I just chip away everything that doesn't look like a horse. When I get done, I've got my horse. He said, I just chip away everything that doesn't look like a horse so that when I get done, I've got my horse. As I left the mall, I heard God speak to me. He said, Roger, that's what I'm doing in your life. I'm chipping away everything in your life that doesn't look like me so that one day you'll take on my image. One day you'll take on my ways. One day you'll take on my person. One day you will become like me. Have you ever wondered what God is up to in your life? You ever wondered what in the world he's doing? Folks, the answer to that question is clear. Every event, every experience, everything you go in this life is for one purpose, that you might become like him. And all things, the Bible says again in Romans 8 and 28, all things will work together for this good. All things will work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you ever wonder what the good is in verse 28? That verse 29 answers. You know, some people say and believe, and some scholars believe, that Romans 8 and 28 should always include verse 29. Because verse 29 says, for whom he also predestined that we might take on the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So all things work together for good, them who love God and are called according to his purpose. What is that good? What is that purpose? So that you might become and take on the image of Jesus. so that you will become like him. And folks, I'm telling you that there's not one thing you'll go through in this life that will not escape the overriding promise of Romans 8 and 28. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're struggling with, God says, I have a purpose. I'm working on you. I'm doing whatever it takes to make you like me. The agenda of God is clear. His agenda is to change us, to shape us, release us, and empower us to be like him. I wonder this morning, is Jesus the Lord of any and all circumstances for you? Is he the Lord of your past? Is he the Lord of heartache, trouble, and pain? All the things for which we don't have clear answers. Sometimes we don't realize it, but God does allow us to go through things. If you're going to in the middle of something and somebody asks you, hey, how you doing? You know what you can say, bless God, I'm in the middle of a miracle. You know why? Because if you're in the middle of something, that is clear evidence that there's the end of something. Because if there's no end, there'd be no middle. So bless God, you're on the way to victory. And again, if somebody says, hey, how's it going, man? How you doing? You can say, bless God, I'm in the middle of a miracle. I'm in the middle of God doing what he said he would do. I'm in the middle of seeing the Lord shape me more and more into his image that I might become like him. So now when someone comes up to me, like I said, and says, you tell me how all things are going to work for good in my life. Now I just respond and say, I don't know, but this one thing I know, God is shaping me into his image. He's making me more like him. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Oh God, Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to exercise our faith in you. And Lord, we know that you are the God who loves us and who cares for us. You're the God who has allowed us to walk through trials and tribulations. But Lord, you said again in John 16 and 33 that in this world we will have tribulations. You said that we could be of good cheer. For you, the one who abides in us, will also overcome the world. And Lord, we just thank you today that you are Lord. You're Lord of heaven and earth. There's nothing within the scope of all of heaven and all of earth for which you do not have divine authority to rule and to deliver and to free. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you're here right now and God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you by his Spirit. And you're hearing his voice, and he would say to you, can you allow me to become Lord over any and all circumstances in your life? I believe there are some of you here this morning right now that are facing some issues in life. And I'm here to tell you that the answer will not be academic. It will not be intellectual. It will not even be theological. The answer will be that you will come to a place of sweet surrender to the things of God and the ways of God. Because I travel year-round all over the U.S. and Canada, I often am asked the question, Roger, what's the key word you're hearing God say to the church at this hour? When somebody asks me that question, my answer is ready and my answer is sure. I've come to a place of understanding that that which God is establishing in us and endeavoring to accomplish is to bring us to a place of sweet surrender. Surrender to his lordship, because he knows that all things will work together for your good. And you're here, you can say, yes, that's me. I have a place like that. If that's you, could you just slip your hand wherever you are? I want to pray for you. We're going to minister personally to many right now. But let's just agree together right now. Speak it with me with your lips. Affirm it right now. Job 22 and verse 28 says that when you speak a thing, when you declare a thing, that thing becomes established in you. I want this word to be established in you today. So speak it with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for allowing me to come to a place of understanding that you are the God that rules over all things, over heaven and over earth. You're the God of Romans 8 and 28, where all things will work together for my good. and for your purposes in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking the broken places in my life and making me whole in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you've made a covenant promise that you might shape us into the very image of you, that I might become like you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.